Hello guys, welcome to our podcast, Those Three. I'm Philip Astar, and this podcast, we talk about science, talk about faith, talk about culture, talk about tech, Africa, politics, anything affecting the world. Anything that comes on top of our mind, we just chat about it. Nothing rigid, no formalities, just an informal and casual conversation that we decided to record. So as I said, I'm Philip, I'm from Ghana. And a fun fact about me that probably I'm boring, so don't expect a fun fact now. Maybe later in the podcast, I'll tell you what. We have Nana Kwame over here. Nana Kwame.
I'm Nana Kwame. I'm currently a student. And one fun fact about me is I'm a twin. And my younger siblings are also twins.
Yeah.
Same for something me. Like that, yeah.
Cool. Chief Della.
Yeah. Della. I'm currently working. One fun fact about me is
sorry, the one doesn't have a fun fact.
one fun fact about me is I'm currently studying the Book of James, so I can debunk some people's ideas of
That's more of like that's more than fun. I don't know what the fun about that.
It's fun.
Well, yeah, I think it's a nice subject to kind of like start with a conversation to talk about, like the one saved forever saved. Like I don't know, it just it's something I like to talk about. And I me personally, okay, to be where I stand, I don't really. I kind of agree with you. Like, I don't think it's like once saved, forever saved. You know, if not, you know, there's so many verses. But yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah. And what about you guys? What do you guys think?
Oh, I'm not of the once saved, forever saved crew. It's if it's that easy, then why are we Christians? If you are saved, it's not forever saved. You have to. Make sure your election is sure. That's what Peter admonished the guys. So make sure that your election is sure. And if you have to make your election sure, it's nothing like one save forever save.
Yeah. I think the one save forever save movement is, I just classify it as coming from lazy Christianity. Like, what do you mean by one save forever save? And when you bring up verses like, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, then they are like, you know, Jesus Christ is love. They also counteract you with the verses like, oh, Jesus Christ is love. Yeah, we know Jesus Christ is love, but he's also a judge. Do you know that? Like, and then they'll be like, oh, when you're talking about the grace of God, or when you're talking about the salvation of God, you shouldn't mention hell and judgment and all those kind of stuff. It's like they say it's gonna scare the people away, and I'm like, no. The truth is far, far more better than you trying to make people feel good, you know. And everything about this whole one save forever save thing is I don't know, it's against the biblical principles of loving your neighbors and making sure you present a good witness of Jesus Christ.
I think just to say something small about what you said, like about it, I think I wanted to mention that verse, like, cause for me that verse is kind of key. Like, work out your own salvation. If I'm saved and that's it, then I don't think I need to be working on my salvation. But I think that to some extent, I understand where the like idea of once saved forever saved comes from. You know, cause if you think about the fact that okay, well. Even though I work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, at the end of the day, salvation still comes from Christ. Like, it comes from God. It's not something that it's a gift that is given to me. So there's a notion to think that, okay, well, if I'm saved, if my sins are forgiven, then that's it. Like, I'm kind of, I don't know how to explain it. But I think it's, yeah. And then I think I just want to say one last thing about what you said about, like, where it's really, really key and about Christianity, people trying to make not preach like hell and things about Christianity. I think it boils down and it helps us to understand like how Christianity is not really a man-made religion. Like, cause if you listen, like what Frederick Nietzsche said, that like was it Friedrich Nietzsche? I'm not sure, but then religion is the opioid of the masses, you know. Yeah, Karl Marx. Karl Marx. Opioid, like, it makes you feel good, it makes you feel high, you get it. But it doesn't really seem like Christianity makes you feel good, because it's like, I don't know how it makes you feel good at all, because rather when I wake up in the morning, I'm actually feeling bad at myself. Like, it makes me feel, if you want to really be true and very fair to ourselves, we being human beings, it makes us feel like not happy, because it's like, okay, well, maybe I'm supposed to, like, sorry to use this example, but like not commit adultery, but like, Charlie, if you look at your body is, when you see a nice girl passing, your body is wanting to do that, you get it, and your body knows that that's what will make you feel good.
I know, right?
So it doesn't necessarily, like, it doesn't appear well that, like, it's really an opioid or it's making you feel good, because in actuality, it doesn't make you feel any good. You can't say what you want, like, ideally what you want to say, quote unquote, because you don't want to hurt, like, you want to do what is right, you want to make your words be seasoned with salt, you get it? And that's not how we human beings want to speak. You want to say your mind to whoever you want to say it, and you want to just go your way, you get it? Who wants to be slapped and give the other side? Yeah. Because from the science that we know, if you hit, like, it's free of flight, it's fight of fear.
Reflex.
So it's like, when you slap me, it's either I want to slap you back or I'm running away. And most of the times, you all want to slap back, because that is the most obvious choice. I think it's a very, very important thing. Because right now, truthfully, I'll agree with you. When you listen to the church, it almost feels like there's no hell, there's no devil. It's like, well, we are all just trying to find the 5 keys to success and the 25 keys to
game palaces.
Because, I mean, one time I was learning about one guy, Demas, in the Bible. Earlier in the scriptures, the guys were telling him that, oh, Demas, send my greetings to Demas and co. But then it comes to 2 Timothy, and Paul says that this guy has loved the world and has deserted me. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you. So you realize that Charlie, although this guy was, he was a top class, but Charlie, he left. You can't put it and say that, oh, I'm saved, I'm there, I'll just do whatever.
Yeah.
And I got what you're saying, that now the church wants to make it so cool on you, Charlie. There's nothing like hell. You're just living your best life. You're just doing this, do everything that's to make you feel good. Hear things that to make you feel good, and then you are done. And it's as easy as, they make it as easy as it sounds, like, oh, it's easy. There's no sacrifice. There's no cross you have to carry.
I think that also stems from the current cultural tendency to make everybody feel at home. You know, like, they're like, hey, like, it's more positive, like, whoever you are, like, okay, just come, like, we accept you as you are. No, nah, that's wrong. Believing wrong and me seeing you going down the drain, going down hell, and then me telling you that, oh, I love you, come, I don't care. Nah, I care too much about you to see you fail. I care too much about you to see you mess your life up. Because, like, not as much as just people in the world, and it seems that the actions of one person can't affect, like, the whole group. It's really the opposite. Whatever thing one person does in the long run affects the whole community. Imagine if there are people that are, like, having people that are really, like, striving to be the best versions of themselves. And we have people to around that checking, acting as checks and balances. For example, the church. The church is one main institution that should act as a check and balance for the community. But it seems we are abdicating these responsibilities and trying to fit in the culture. You know, like, you come as you are. You know, like, we'll not judge you. Just come, let's have some barbecue, play some music. You know, have fun. You know, hell will come later on. We're not talking about hell right now. Hell will come later on. And then we have all these people that
start I think that's one of the, like, I don't know. I just want to make, like, it's something I talk to people about, and I think because normally I feel like you said something and we all are saying like the church and things, and I feel like sometimes people kind of confuse us, like trying to think that we are kind of like how do you call it? People think that we are kind of trying to attack like the people, like, you know, because the Bible says that we are the body, the church is the body of Christ and stuff. And so the one I just want to say is that, like, the church, to me, what you are talking against is like the institution. You get it? Because I feel truthfully, like, from everything that you have said, I feel like the institution is more concerned about, okay, the numbers we have in the church. The institution, and that's the reason why I get sometimes, even though I just criticize Karl Marx's statement, like, I understand what he says by saying that the religion is on the feet of the masses, because I don't, when I hear him say the religion, I don't think he's talking about that old woman who comes and works hard and come and give an offertory and things, but rather those people, the institutions, you know, those people who are in charge, and then those people, and then they're in charge and they keep on doing, quote unquote, some of them, the bad things and all those things, and then that's where they bring that in, like, and then they bring that idea that, okay, once see forever see. So it's like, okay, no matter what we are doing, Christ, so God is still with me, you know. And so I think the extension I always like to make when I'm talking about these things is the difference between the churches that we are kind of talking about. It's like, we are not talking about the people, like the, not like, I don't know how to say it. We are not talking about the sorry to say, the normal people, but we are talking about the institutions and the rules and the laws and all those things. Because even if you look at Jesus Christ wasn't really a fan of the institutions. Like, yeah. Like, he didn't talk well to the Pharisees. Because they were all institutionalized. They were all, like, when they came to him and be like, oh, but then, like, your disciples eat without washing their hands, but then they're like, you know, the elders said we have to wash our hands and things. And it was kind of because he realized that the institutions were now we were not concerned about what is right or what is true. Mm. But then in trying to have a good name, good face, you know, all those things. And so that's the reason why, if you think about it, why would like an institution like the church try and not talk about hell? Because they want to look good in the eyes of the people. Like, you know, it's like most of the things they are trying to do is all trying to make them look like another kind of like business for people to buy and to look nice and polished and everything, so that they can have more members. Because to me, most of the church, I'm not saying it's wrong for a church to say you want more members, but I feel like in search for more members, we forget what the real thing is. You know, we don't preach. Yeah, we said, okay, like what Victor was saying, you preach the come all you who are weary and I'll give you rest, but we will not talk about there's two ways, and then the way to hell is broad and a lot of people are on it, you know. So
I think even after we are talking about the church, we owe each ourselves a responsibility, because we make the church.
Oh, yeah.
Myself, you make the church. But what Nana Kwame said that drew my mind to something is, one time I was looking at a study that when the church makes its mandate of baptizing men and winning souls, and move from that stage to an institutionalize ourselves, like, it's more of, we focus more on the administrative side than the basic rule of winning souls. You will realize how you have switched from administration to soul winning and discipleship and those things. And then if you move from that place and you become more of an institution, going by the rules, like the Pharisees, let's do this. Missing the God in everything we do, realizing we make those things idols to us. You understand? And then talking about the fact that don't judge me. Let the people come as they are. There's this theory that the passage that talks about do not judge. People just take only that first part and they don't even consider what's at the end. They always say, do not judge. The Bible tells us that we should rebuke our brothers, we should tell our brothers are going wrong, we should rebuke them and we should correct them. But then they've made it, do not judge. Hey, you're a Christian, don't judge me. That's the mentality we are carrying around. Do not judge, that's all. They leave it there, they don't ask, like, do not judge. So I think both sides, aside the individual, we looking good to the individuals too. We also in the in the corporate body, individually, we have to make sure that we put ourselves on the on our toes. Because at times, if you don't take it, you move from the basic things of discipleship to, you focus more on administration, because now the numbers have become big. You are getting big things. You'll be getting like the leadership is big. You are becoming broad. And if you move from that basic thing, soul winning, let's preach the word, let's talk about devotion, and move from that place to focusing only on administration. Both sides are good. Administration is good because, for instance, Jesus gave Judas to take care of the money, and then all this administrative work was there, but Jesus Christ didn't miss the point of preaching the gospel to the people. So the point of institution may come in because it's growing bigger, and then you can't leave it without any leadership. But then if you leave one side and focus on the other, that's where I think the problem comes in the more.
Okay. So I don't know. I just feel like, just to, you know, because it's the first like recording, like maybe to try and talk about something normal, like let's say where we are from, school stuff, you know, because I know some people here went to better schools than me, so but especially Philip, I don't know, just try and relax it more before we
best school.
We keep on going. Yeah, he went to the
best school.
Chara, how was like with the first day you heard that you were going to the school? How was it?
Oh, first day. I was very happy. That was the truth to, like, I was Charlie. I was like, oh, Charlie, he fought to him, Charlie, the school. Hey. And then all this new around the one of my auntie's friends told me that I'll go to Addis Adam. So before that, he nearly convinced me that I'll be going to Addis Adam. And then when the butcher came, I was so proud of it. Like, hey, Charlie, butcher. When I entered, my first experience was not the best, Charlie. The senior boys didn't make me enjoy the school. Like, ha! But then it was generally good. It was generally good. Like, everything was.
Okay, me, I don't know.
And then, getting to my second year, third year, that's when I became conversant with this place and the school. Yeah.
Me, for me personally, I never actually knew about so many SHL schools. I didn't even know Infantoprim. I didn't know, like, I literally didn't know schools. Like, me, the funny thing is that the schools that I chose on the list, no, I actually didn't know any of them. I never seen any of them. Like, I just hear, like, I think my first chance was like St. Peter's. I heard that somebody said St. Peter's a good school. I didn't even know where it was, which region it was. I just write it down, like, you know, and I wrote Aquinas too. Aquinas, I didn't even know it was a day schooler. Can you imagine? Like, when you got this, my dad was like, did we really write the day school there? And I was like, I don't know. I seriously didn't know. Yeah, so Charlie. Hey, what about you?
Victor? Oh, yeah, me, there was a disappointment. Now, the truth be told, I didn't like the school that I got. It was my third choice, upon senior high school. Like, I was devastated beyond the word, the word itself. Like, I remember even seeing tears come to my eyes. I was like, really, like I got good grades, you know. I didn't get St. Augustine's. That was the school I wanted to go to. Yes. I didn't get Ghana National College. I was like, wow. Then I got my third choice. I found senior high school. But Charlie, all the same. We went there. We had no option, you understand? But like, I feel going there really, really taught me certain things. Yeah. Like, I was able to make certain friends that, like, really shaped the way I thought about the world, especially my relationship with God as well. Like, I felt if I'd gone to a school that I really, really, really liked, probably I would not have turned out the way I turned out right now. Because finishing GHS 3, I was sort of a bit, I would say, I was getting excited. Like, that was when I, like, a lot of peer pressure and all this kind of stuff. So, like, I was see, like, it was like, God was like, we need to work this thing out before it gets out of hand. You understand?
Let's save him. Let's save him.
I think
think from what you were saying, I just realized something. I don't know, but like to me personally, because that's the same thing. Like for me, when I got Aquinas, like I like, you know, when you're in JHS, you have a group of friends you work with and stuff, and Charlie, all of them, like I didn't do bad. Like I had like whatever. But then like they all of them had their first choice. Charlie, all my friends, so Charlie. I couldn't even tell people that I got like, because everyone people used to say my handwriting was bad, but there was this guy, I promise, this guy's handwriting was worse than me. And the guy had a spare choice. See, there was another guy in my school who had like I grade, like I don't know, 20 or whatever, and he also chose St. Peter's. But then when the grades came, he knew that he wasn't going to get his school. He made his father do a this one to him for Ghana's. And then when he got a guy, like, so when the schools came, you know, and he realized that he had St. Peter's, and I was like, what is happening? Like, he had 20, he had me, I didn't get it. And he also chose science, so it's not like he chose a different course than me. Like, I was shocked. You get it. And the same thing, like, I remember going to the school, I didn't even, so for me, when I went to Aquinas, the first few days, like, you have to learn. So me, I missed the whole orientation because I didn't want to go to school in the first place. And then when I got there, like, you know, you have to, I told myself that I'll never learn how to sing your anthem. I was like, because I hated the school so much. And then, but then funny enough, like later, when I got the school, I realized that the school I really wanted to go to was like, if I had had a chance, was Achimota. And then my dad was trying to, you know somebody here to try and move me. So my dad did all these things that he said he wanted me to go to Laboni. And I was like, really? Laboni? That thing is just opposite my school. Like, like, I don't want this. You want to give me a better school and you give me one that is opposite. But then back then I was like, okay, you well, let me just go and see the school. And then I went. And then I had gone to Aquinas for like 1 or 2 weeks. And then I went there, and then when I went there, they gave me the books and the school uniform, and they said I should wear it. And I gave them some silly excuse that I can't. I have to go back tomorrow morning. I'll come. And then, hey, like, and I don't know, Charlie. I know at that time I didn't know that boys can cry. So I started crying. I was like, what is this? What kind of? Oh, because I remember when I got my green, you know. But okay, back then everyone was going praying about it and stuff. I was hoping that like the grade would change. I would get like my first choice again. But then like the short, long story short, like, so we were picking the car, we're going back home, and then we were passing Aquinas because the Laboni and Aquinas are close. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, this experience, I always say it because it was shocking for me. Like, I started missing, I was like, no, I'll go to Aquinas. And the reason was because I remember this fried rice woman who used to sell fried rice. For me now, and then I don't know what happened to all of a sudden. I remember how the food tastes and how great the food was with ketchup and stuff. And I told my dad, I'm not going to this school. We went back home, Charlie, went, like literally fighting. And I was like, I'm not going. He said he has paid. And I was like, me, I don't care. I didn't tell him to go and pay. I'm not going to this school. He gets it. And then, back then, I felt very bad because, like, fighting to fight is not the best thing to do. And then, like, it was really bored too. But then I was like, you. So he said, okay, if I'm going to go, no complaints. And I'll say that I have to give like praise to my father for that, because he was, I was shocked that he changed his mind, because like he paid a ton of money. And it's not like that he had a ton of money. So I went to Aquinas, and then actually I said the same thing. Like, when I went to Aquinas, I was like, God. It's like, I don't know. So I realized something that maybe when you show appreciation for things that you didn't expect, normally, I don't know, goodness comes out of it, because like, I would never be the way I am, even the slightest form. I don't think so, because the friends that I had, thankfully, they were not talking about girls, we were talking about anime in the beginning. But like later on, we all started talking about some sports, which was helpful. And like I like the same thing as they are saying, the same thing that happened to me, and at a point, like, and funny now, just a year after I got I found out on the National Arts and Science Quiz, and my father was all like, it looks like I was like, yeah, you didn't know. Yeah, but yeah, so Charlie, I don't know, but I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, I don't know what you think about it, but I feel like sometimes when you don't expect things, but then let's say, and especially when it's bad, like in the eyes of human beings or in the eyes of other people, it's bad, but then try to see the positive in it. it becomes a very great positive. I don't know if it's the same thing for you, but because I really feel like, because the same thing, like what happens to people, literally, this is the same thing now. Because, and it's sorry to say, but my sister got her first choice, my amateur, like she got her and things. Every day, people, like, as one myself asks, oh, they ask myself, which school are you in? And they'll be like, oh, she's like a big girl. So I'm like, oh, then it means your brother is in Presec. And I'm like, ah. Yeah.
Oh, that's like, it's true. When you show appreciation for the little thing, that's unlike me, I didn't have the hope of upgrade. Like, I was just like, I need to that comes, but I don't know. I was just okay. Like, if it comes, fine. If I don't get it, yeah, then I'm cool. I wasn't that bent on it. Like, if I don't get it, because I told you that one of my auntie's friends was convincing me that Adisada is the best school, telling me why the zebra is the best. he just convinced me, like somebody's basically, he convinced me so well that I even forgot that I chose the first to put myself. Yeah. But then, so that's just like, if you appreciate it, if you appreciate the little things that come your way, you make sense out of yeah, it as it goes by.
And that draws my mind to the current,
and eventually what did you think?
Oh,
is that
I was talking when he said appreciation, like being grateful for the little things that happen in your life. It drew my mind to how currently I saw this interview of Denzel Washington. The host of the interview was trying to make him feel like they were talking about all these injustices and all those kind of stuff that was happening, and then the response that Denzel was giving was like even nowadays the climate is better than those days. Like, he was trying to make the guy understand that, like, yo, even though things are not the way that we hope it is, but currently it's better than compared to previous years or previous decades or whatever it is. So like, I saw that thing in him, and I found the utility of like being grateful. Like, if when you are grateful, like Charlie, you forgo certain things, certain obstacles that are in front of you, and then like make most of whatever opportunities that you find your hand doing, something like that.
Yeah. But I think it reminds me of the same thing. Like, I was talking to somebody about how. Really, when you look, was in, when you look at the history of the world, there's a verse in the Bible, in Proverbs, that says that don't say that the old days were better than now. You get so something like that.
I think something like do not long for the good old days.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's unwise. Something like that. And then I was thinking about it, and truthfully, if you really look at the way things are now, things are far, far much better. It's like I was telling somebody that, you know, it will shock you that even though it looks like let's say even immorality has increased, truthfully, you can't compare the immorality of now to like the pagan Romans. Like, that was the norm of the day. No one was trying to have a single wife, you know. It's like, I think that people don't realize how far we have come. It's like now people marry one person and try their best to stick with that person. That has never been the norm of society. Society has never been like trying to not have sex or trying to do what is right. That has never been the large portion of like human history. But then I think the reason why these days we think that the world has become much, much more horrible is because, well, we are a lot, and then now every little thing is reported in the media, and not just the media, but it's reported, and then, like, you know, the a small nut, a small bad thing spoils everything, you know. It's like, because you think about it, how many murders do you hear in America? Let me just use America. It's just not to bring in Black Lives Matter or anything, but those, like, how many do you hear? I'm not saying it's not a lot, it's just like a couple. It's, no, not a couple, it's like 100 and something. But then, like, but compared to the number of like Black people who live, there are 40 million Black people in this country who go about their businesses normal, or people, not just Black people, normal human beings in this America that go about their businesses normal and do everything well. But then, you know, the little things, you know, we think about the bad and the evil. But I think that's what I'm saying, like, if we appreciate what we have and then try to when we appreciate what we have, we begin to see the utility of like what we have, and then we make the best out of it. But if you're always complaining about, okay, maybe this and that and that, Charlie, you are never going to see anything. I don't know. It's like a perfect example of like what we are saying. If me, when I went to SHS, I said, like, if I kept on my complaining about everything, I'm sure I would have turned out very horrible because I was blaming. Because think about it. The BEC, you can blame it on everybody because you can say that the one who marked the game marked well, the one who recorded him didn't do it, the one who
the invigilator
was too hard on me because I saw somebody copying like the examination questions. Who said those questions? Who? Because this is too hard. How do you expect us to know? Like so many things, people, you can even start arguing that examination is not the best way to grade people and things. Like so many things, you can start blaming so many. Because think about it. Like, why was somebody was in my class, he had IG 20, he got to the same school with science, and me had OAs, and I didn't get that. So it's like, I'm asking myself that, is it my fault or the system is broken? And if you think about it, well, I have a lot of reasons to say, yes, the system is broken. And for me to say, okay, because of that, I'm going to repeat the system by not learning and not being serious and stuff. But yeah, I think being appreciative of what we have and what has been given to us is serious, Charlie. It's so serious. Because think about in the olden days, if we're in the olden days, by the time I have like
I tell you, can't feed them. I tell you. I like multiple wives.
Yeah, Charlie.
Because for instance, your story, for instance, with the Aquina, if you didn't appreciate the school, you didn't learn.
Yeah, I want.
And then you didn't get all the successes. Because one time, one lady from, she was in her department. Then now she's working at the mines, one of the mines. Just she didn't like the course that they gave to her, the materials course from first year. So Charlie, she wasn't learning. No, the first year she wasn't learning. No, but in the second year, third year, realized that Charlie, I have no option. I'm in it already. The course I want to do, I didn't get. Let me be grateful and learn.
Yeah.
And then she was able to talk, not like as if she had learned from first, it would be different. But she was able to do well now. She works in one of the big mines in Ghana. So I think as soon as you put the contentment side in it, aside the circumstance around you, Charlie, things take a different perspective.
And what we are saying, like, I don't think we are, I don't think you are trying to say the same thing. I don't think we are trying to say that, oh, well, like, bad things don't happen and then injustice don't happen and then whatever it is. So happens. Yeah. Like, it's like so many bad things happen day to day, but then it's like, am I going to just focus on the bad things every day, every single time? It's like me personally, like this, that's one thing I'll say. I don't like, not to bring politics in again, but then this Pali, the Pali app, that's like, I was on that app. And I know it was like right wing, whatever it is. But one thing I really didn't like about the website was I felt like I get it. Like Twitter is trying to do all these things to you people, but when you create a new website, don't make it all political. I want to see some funny jokes. What is this? I was like, you know, I just want to see some silly things. You know, we don't have to be all how do you call it? Yeah. So what I'm just trying to say is that we are not trying to say that like, so bad things don't happen to people and things, but like, you know, being content with what you have and all those things is a much better bet. Like, it's your best. To me, I don't like it's your best bet. Let me not bring the story inside, but like, I was playing Ludo, this Ludo online game, and
now can your mic is off?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can
hear you. When my screen goes off, then it goes off. I don't know why. Well, I was playing this video game, and then I have to go home. Like, I have just like two, they are almost at home. And then I was playing with some of my friends, and they're about to also go home. And like, they have like, they are far away from me, and they keep on playing six, and they are just going. And then I lost, and I got bored. And then, like, I was thinking about it. Like, I got bored at all of them. I was like, I'll talk to them again, or whatever it is. And then I was thinking about it, and I was like, but like, wait, think about it. What could I have really done? Like, you know, it's like, my best bet was to play the best I got. You get what I'm trying to say? And then, so yeah, I think, that's one of, like, and to look at the better side of things, you know. So yeah, I don't know if I've gone off track, but like all I'm just trying to say is that I don't think they're saying that. Like I just wanted to make a point that we are not saying that, oh well, bad things don't happen to people, like, and every day be joyful and be laughing about everything. But like, you know, it's good to be content for what you have. And,
yeah, you see life in a color TV, not black and white.
yeah. You know, you have to try and do it, because there's sorry, I was reading this poem, and I think that poem was one of the things that I was sleeping with. He was like, most days are dark, rainy, and like, you know, bad weather. Like most days are like that. So when you see one of these days, when you walk out there and then you see the sun shining and the wonderful weather, like Charlie, think about that more, be grateful for that, because the truth is that if you want to focus on the evil, you will not be able to think.
The concept of gratitude it looks basic, but times you don't, it looks simple, but times how should I put it, like it looks so great, but doing it is very simple. Like you just being grateful for life, you just being grateful for the basic thing, the least thing you could think of.
Okay.
The problem is we're always looking for more.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Our life is such that human needs are insatiable. Yeah. Like we can't satisfy it. So as soon as you get, you are craving for more. Mm. As soon as you get, you are craving for more. So you can't be grateful for what you have. You are always agitated for what you are not having yet. Okay. And that's the point of ingrat.
Yeah, I just want to ask us all another question because of what Philip said. So you know, Philip, you were saying that when you were like, when you got the Fantapim, you were not like, whatever happens, it became more of like a surprise. So like, I know all of us, I think I know one thing that all of us around you, that was a surprise for us, like getting the MasterCard scholarship. Like how did this feel to kind of like, because me, I got mine. So let me just say my own and you guys say yours. So I was in the class and then I, you know, Ghana, Wi-Fi. Okay, I know I'm not being grateful for it, but whatever. Like, you know, you don't have a lot of data. So when you get to the class, you turn on the Wi-Fi, and I love watching YouTube. So I go to YouTube, I go and download all. I don't know why when I came here I can't download videos, but Ghana, you can download YouTube videos,
IDM,
like on
IDM.
The YouTube app at a point. So I download all. Yeah, I download all the YouTube, like during the time. So when I turned it on, then I saw an email, Charlie. I was like, oh, and I saw congratulations, but me, no, it wasn't congratulations, but it was something like joyful. Me, I've had emails that sounded joyful, but when I read it, Charlie, I was like, thank you for applying, or yeah, sorry, like, or something. So I didn't want to be too ahead of myself, and I read it, and I was like, oh, well, you got it. And then I think there was this, just at dinner or whatever it is. So there was this girl sitting by me, or some boy, like, yeah, the boy, whatever it is. And then, like, they were talking about, like, going for the dinner or whatever it is. Then, when I saw the thing, it was before a class, so I saw the thing, the teacher wasn't in, I was so joyful, my mind was going, I told the people, even though I had, like, friends at 20 Ghana cities, I was like, I'll tell you guys, if you guys want to go.
Hey, I was like,
I'll buy you guys a ticket. I was like, what, boy, you want to go? Because, like, my mind, I was like, I'm out of here, you know, and then, I felt like I was hyperventilating, so I even wanted to get out. So when I made up my mind I was going to get out of the class, and the teacher came, and I promised, that class was one of the classes that I never listened to anywhere.
I remember, I don't know the reason, but then at that time I was at home, so I was just there, then some of the guys called me that I might check my email today. The scholarship of offers are in, and I said no, I've not checked. And I said I checked my email. For some strange, I didn't check the correct folder. I see Google can divide some competition, primary promotion update. Oh, so I didn't check the correct. I didn't check the correct email, and the person said, oh, at least if they didn't call you or something, you still get an email, so definitely check your email.
Yeah.
As soon as I check the email, I land on the floor. Thank you. Yo, like at that way, as you said, like my conversations were not normal. If you ask me anything, I think I'll give you a correct answer. I remember.
It was a night when I got it. By that time I was the assistant technical head of helping with setup. It was like an all night setup. There was this program coming up, one of our major programs coming up. So the choir had to like rehearse and all those kind of stuff. So I set everything up for them, and then I was trying to learn, Charlie. It was during those examination, either midterm exams season. So I'd finished setting up. I was in another room in the dawn. I was trying to read some of my lecture notes. Then all of a sudden I got a message from Benjamin. He was like, bro, what's happening? Immediately I saw that, because it was just a random message. Like, normally he doesn't send me messages like that. He said, bro, what's happening? Then I realized that, oh, the thing was in. And then I checked my email. Nothing had come. So you know, TNUC Wi-Fi. So the messages are not loaded yet. And then I refreshed it again. And Charlie, when I saw the congratulations, that was it. Like, I didn't even read the rest of the thing again. Like, I was so happy that I ended up like seeing off one of the technical members. I went to see him off, like, what was it? Is it like the Sucho Soap blog? I walked from Brunei, and I know Brunei, Hall 7 to Sucho Soap. I went to see him off, and then I walked there at night, in the dawn. I went to see him off. I was like, oh, let me try and give you some form of protection. But I didn't know that. I was so happy.
Yes.
And then I walked back again. My goodness. Like, I remember I called my dad. It was 3 a.m. Yeah, it was 3 a.m. I called my dad that time. I called him. I wanted him to know. I knew he was asleep, but I still wanted him to know. And they didn't pick. And a few minutes later, I called back. He thought like something bad had happened to me. Because, like, why would I call at 3 a.m.?
Something is wrong. Yeah, 3 a.m.
Like, what's wrong? He's like,
yeah, 3 a.m. is so awkward.
Like, dad, like, this semester was the last semester you paid school fees. You are not paying school fees again for me. Like, wow. And then like, you were just quiet on the phone. Like, I could sense like that joy within you. Like, Charlie, it was one of the best days in my life.
Yeah. Charlie. Yeah. Hey, you know, I lied on the floor, Charlie.
That one, and to cap it off, okay, for me, because I was roommates with Hansen. I don't know, the people who are listening to us probably don't know him, but like, my roommate also got it. And then, like, and he was afraid, like, because I got it, and then he didn't want to check. He said he wanted to check it when we get back to the room. And I was like, this guy, I don't make my hands clean, because if you don't get it, then I'll begin to feel like I have to feel sorry for you. And so I was saying in my mind that I hope that you get it, you know. So we got to the room, and this guy checked this child, he got it, and I was shouting the whole okay.
Like, I imagine
yes,
what you guys are doing.
It was nice. Hey, like, we're shouting, and like, normally we play basketball, we have like, we're shouting, jumping. Charlie, everyone heard us. Everyone was like, are you guys okay? We're like, oh, yeah, sorry. Like, yeah. But it was nice. It's true. Like, this, we are sharing this, we just drew my mind to something that is, at times we are waiting for big things to be extremely happy, but then. We should celebrate the small successes too. Like, the small ones, which are great. Like, so when a big one comes, you celebrate that one too. Yeah. And you celebrate the small ones too. Because you can lose sight of the small ones too.
Yeah.
And be ungrateful easily.
Yeah.
Easy, like, it's so easy. Like, if maybe a big opportunity came and then some situations and things are delaying. If you don't take it, you might even lose sight of the big one and say, challenge.
Yeah.
We feel better.
Yeah, so I think it goes back to like being appreciative. And that's what you're saying, of the little things. Because sometimes we are used to it for so long that we think that, oh, this is the norm.
Yeah, you're supposed
like,
to.
I'm supposed to get this. I'm supposed to get here. I'm supposed. I see,
it's just my right.
It's my right. Like, I see it's my force. And you have to, you know, Suck a hair. You know, such a big senior, but I always say it to people, and I'm like, when I'm talking to someone in the first place, like, oh, but we all get rich. And I'm like, you know, it's not all right. It's not like a written out thing there for you. You get this. So, like, you have to be appreciative of what you have, you know, and stop thinking that, like, oh, I will be rich. I see it's obligated by the world to give you this thing. Because everybody has, like, you know, so that one is true. Like, we have to really be careful of that and think of the little things.
It's something that's strange. I don't know whether you guys have seen it. The guy has tied scarf around his head, and you've seen that, Charlie. I bet it unfold. So Charlie, you just have to, like, just have to, the little he's doing, you know. You try it and work hard. Yeah. So when I was a child, he had big dreams. I want to do this. And that dream will end by your BEC. Depending on the grade you get, it's kind of time to continue or not.
Yeah.
So Charlie, it's something I have to be.
Sorry. Continue.
No problem.
No, go ahead. Yeah, like what you just said, I wanted to also say something which, like, okay, me for me, because I'll say as a Ghanaian, you have three or two key transitions, DC, WASI, and then university. So, like, I just want to talk about the WASI, because what you said is kind of similar to, like, you said something about, like, you know, it can be that, like, the BEC will be the end of your life, and then and I think that's one of the things I just want to say, because for me personally, I didn't finish WASI with the best grades. I was hoping I get, and that one too, I could have blamed it, and I actually did blame it on the people who were marking me, because I felt like maybe they didn't see my heights. But, like, what I'm just trying to say is that when I was going to university, one of the things I told myself was that I know I didn't get all the 8-1s or whatever it is, but then I know that, like, I'm a good student, so I try my best. So sometimes you need, even though maybe they'll, like, I'll just comment on what you said about, like, BC ending or this one. Sometimes some bad things can happen to us, but then you have to kind of have faith in you yourself and, like, be hopeful. But then going back to the point that you said, truthfully, it's a thing that we really all have to work on. Like, this idea that we all will be successful, like, everyone thought that we, last time I was talking to someone, and I was like, you really think that, like, your dad didn't want to be the richest person in the world? And you haven't asked me, like, that was his plan, or maybe not just that, but something else, like, achieve some better goals. So the question you should ask yourself, or the thing you should tell yourself, is not, oh, you all get this, or but then, what can I do to ensure that at least, you know, I would hit the goal, you know? And I think that's the thing that people don't really ask themselves, because it's nice to cloud yourself with the sleeping and thinking, oh, tomorrow morning you become like Elon Musk, and then your network will shoot. Like, it's easy. It's easy to think that way, because so I think it's just
a bit far.
Every day. I'm like, Charlie.
just keep on, be grateful for the little. If you don't get a big opportunity, what you are currently in,
it's true.
Just put your all in it, and then Charlie.
And it cuts across everything, even in our Christian beliefs. Like, you just saying, oh, you have faith in Jesus Christ, and you believe that, oh, you go to heaven, and then you are just there, you are not doing anything. You say, oh, I believe deep in my heart that Jesus Christ is my Lord and personal Savior. Like, what's there to prove? We are not saying that you like your works will save you or something like that, but, like, what's there to prove that indeed what you said is true or will come to pass? You know, James said that. James, he asked, like, some rhetorical question. Was it James 2 or something like that? He said that, show me your works. I was talking about works and faith. It was like, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith with my works, something like that. He was talking in terms of, like, it was like even the devils believing in God and the shadow, like, they are afraid. So if you say you believe in, like, God, it doesn't show anything. Like, and you are not like proving anything, it doesn't mean anything. It's just like, it's just senseless. You just saying, oh, you believe in God. It doesn't mean anything. But like, what proves, like, actually, are you striving? Are you like, are you trying so hard to become like Jesus Christ or something like that? I think, yeah, instead of we just hoping for the best, like, oh, we hope that we'll eventually become millionaires one day. No. when we look at your life, we'll know whether you become a millionaire one day or not.
That's okay. Yeah. So, and I can, you have anything to say? I think you can be wrapping up.
That's what I just wanted to say. So, like, I don't know how, because this is an introductory, like, episode. So, like, however you want to.
I think today we focus more on gratitude. So, I think we can make that one the start of it. We start with our basic traditional ourselves and then went to James and moved on to our high school life and then gratitude. And we ended with gratitude. Gratitude is the most part of it. So, if we divide it into two, we can get 2 30-minute episode out of this.
Yeah, I think that's totally possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe the first part can be like, oh, I don't know. Your first part can be the maybe introductory form, and then the second part would be more gratitude, because I think that's what we are talking about more.
But like I said, we as a recording podcast to other people, like personally, this message, like, it's serious. Realize how we celebrated, like, we were talking about how we celebrated our big success. You nearly forget, but they are all part of our lives.
Being grateful is good.
I think, truthfully, I've been doing, not fully, but then I've been trying to do that for a while. And I think sometimes it's not just about being grateful for things, but being grateful for people. Because one of the things that I did a while ago, back before I even knew that I lived in Ghana and things, was I was thinking, I don't know, I was all of a sudden, maybe it was being depressed, but I was worried about, like, what if, like, one of these days I hear one of my siblings is dead, you know. sorry to say that, but, like, I'm in pain group. But, like, I used to think about that, and I knew it was a real, like, it's possible, you know. It's not like we have some, everyone knows the day is going to die, and these are the people who have been with me, like, all my life, you know. So I was thinking about it, and sometimes it was making me sad. And so I used to ask myself, like, so what can I do, you know? I definitely pray for them. That was one of the things I was doing. But I was like, okay, well, but what else? And then I think I read a book or something like that, and I saw somewhere that is like, try and make the, like, be grateful and make the most out of the time you have with people, the time, like, so that's like what you're saying, like, celebrate your success, like, celebrate every little thing, so that, like, you don't have to wait for this big thing. So, like, what I'm just trying to say is that, like, so I started celebrating every time I had with my siblings or with my family members, or like I'll give them a call, even if it's 2 minutes. I'm like, okay, I'm still going to enjoy this call, 30 seconds. I wasn't going to wait for maybe where I don't have anything to do, I don't have any homework to write or anything before I kind of look for somebody or I'm grateful for something. So I think all I'm just trying to say is that sometimes it's not just being grateful for, like, things. We have to be grateful for people, because you never know how long people will last in your life, you know. So it is something that we have to also be mindful of, being grateful for the people we have, and celebrating every minute and every second you spend with them, because you never know.
That's true. These ways are powerful, like, just the little ones, so the 5 minute score, the 30 second score, that's make the difference.
Personally, that's why I've never really liked people who come and visit me or call me, like, when I'm on vacation, because I'm like, yeah, well, definitely. You know, it's so obvious. But then it's like, when you take out the time in your busy schedule to even say hello some 1 second, you know, it's much more significant to me personally, because it's like the person realizes that, well, at least, I'm not saying that I should be the number one person in your life. Jesus should be that, you know.
So, Charlie Squad, thank you. Those three conversations, this is the end of it. we are very grateful for the little one we've done this today. We are very hopeful, and then we thank God that Kami wants to be so great and you enjoy the future episodes.